السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم زدني علما، اللهم طهر قلوبنا، اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. We praise and we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His infinite grace and bounty and for gathering us here for His remembrance, for the study of His book, and to study together the Makkan Surah Al-Ghashiyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran to do tadabbur, to reflect, to read, understand, and ponder, think deeply into the meanings of the Quran. Not just pass it by like a novel that you read from cover to cover, but every ayah is an ayah. The word ayah, as you know, means, we translate it in English as a verse, but literally ayah means a sign, that every ayah of the Quran is a sign for us to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for us to act upon and reflect. So our gatherings always are to have a better understanding of the Quran, with the goal that this would make me come closer to my Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this will change my life in a way that I become more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this will change my life, that in the akhirah, this would be something positive for me. Because there are many people who read the Quran and do not benefit from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ يَشَى وَيُدِلُّ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَى. From the same book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides people, and from the same book, reading it, people go astray. And we have plenty of examples of that. Starting from the time of the Makkans, they heard the Quran, the same ayats, and it did nothing for them except make them greater opponents of Islam and of Rasulullah. Same verses. Today also, the enemies of Islam study the Quran and they try and find what they consider contradictions, mistakes, as they say. So to prove that this is not the divine word. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show them things that will say, look, oh, I found this, look. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads those who do not believe astray. And He says, only those who have a disease in their hearts are led astray. Those who are fasiq, rebellious, are led astray. So, alhamdulillah, we are gathered here out of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of love of this deen, out of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of love for our salaf, the earlier generations who have gone, the latest ones, our parents and grandparents, that one day, by taking this path of Islam, we will be successful. And we will be gathered with them one more time for eternity, never to be separated again. So, take the Quran as a personal message to you, to me. We don't read the Quran that it was revealed for someone else. Yes, it was revealed for all of mankind, but for me, it was revealed for me. I have to implement it in my action. Nobody else's Quran is going to benefit me. Okay. Somebody memorizes the Quran, somebody understands the Quran, somebody acts on it, it's all in his account. So we all have to take this as a personal message. Sometimes Shaitan tells us a certain verse comes and puts in our mind, I hope Brother Masih is listening to this, as if it was meant for him. It should be implemented for me. So keep that in mind. This is a reminder first for myself. And just remember that there is nobody here. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly not an alim. I am a student of Islam. And I am as much in need of the Quran as any one of you, and perhaps more in need. So we try and do the best we can with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened for us through what the scholars of Islam have understood this. So Al-Ghashiyah is a Meccan surah, which for our youngsters, just to remind you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given the risala, the messengership, at the age of 40, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him back at the age of 63. So 23 years, of which 13 years were spent in Mecca, 10 years in Medina. So all the Quran that was revealed in Mecca is called Meccan Quran, and that revealed in Medina is called the Medinan Quran, continuation of the same. In general, the Makki Quran has to do with our aqidah, our belief system, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the akhirah, the stories of the previous anbiya, what happened to those nations, the Jannah, the Nar, the paradise, hellfire, day of judgment, previous prophets. So this is the aqidah, this is the belief. Because without belief, without knowing Allah, how would somebody obey Allah? If you don't know Allah, you don't feel like. If you don't know the power of the policeman, you run the red light, but you know that he is standing there and you know what he can do to you. Now you observe the rules. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to do something. If you don't know who Allah is and what his might is and what his favors and grace on you is for each one, then you don't feel compelled to obey him. Okay? So it deals with tawheed, and it tells us that we are all accountable. We are only here as very temporary residents. Okay? We've been only given a visitor's visa on this dunya. There is no permanent residency here. Even after 950 years, it's taken away, like Nuh alayhi salam. You can't stay forever. Eternity, forever, is in the akhirah. So we are all temporary residents. We have to go back, and this surah will talk about. So, in that Meccan environment, there were a handful of Muslims who had accepted the message. There was a lot of resistance against it because it was going to cause change in the social structure of the Meccan leadership. So there was ridicule, there was rejection of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They called him a liar, they called him a magician, they called him a sha'ir, they called him whatever. Even though just before this they used to honor him and call him As-Sadiq, the most truthful, and Al-Amin, the most trustworthy, to the extent that they used to, even after they rejected him, they would keep as amana their precious things with him, that he would give it back, in spite of that. So in that hostile environment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah, which is Al-Ghashiyah. And it's not a very complicated surah, it's a very straightforward surah, because the message of Islam is very clear. It does not require a PhD. It is not just for the very smart, this is for all, the awam. A person in the field who working the ground, who has never had one grade of education, can understand this message. And you can be a double PhD, you can understand this message. And it's not related to how smart or educated you are, because it's a message that appeals to the fitra, the natural inclination of the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah is going to talk about the day of judgment, which is a reality, and we have to prepare for it. Whenever we talk about the day of judgment, it's not just a sort of prediction of something that's going to happen. The whole idea of knowing about the day of judgment is what? Why do we need to know that there's a day of judgment?
Oh, so that we can observe the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Well, you can observe the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway. You saw the hurricane came, you saw the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do they tell you have a final exam coming up in November? Why? So that you prepare for it, right?
Yeah.
So the final exam came, I flunk, no big deal. That's not how we are, right? We are told about these things so that you may have the right answers and you pass on that day. So we are told about the day of judgment so we can prepare for it, okay? You don't want to just show up there and say, oh, this is right, this is what we learned about in Surah Ghashiya. What have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask that day, what have you brought? But nothing. But weren't you told about this event? Literally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you, what have you brought? And that day we are not going to have bags of gold and you know, I have the latest of electronics in this. It's only Iman and Amal. What actions you have brought, what you have done in your life. So the whole idea of this is to hammer this concept, this reality of Akhirah, that there is a day of judgment, there is a reality, and in the end there are only two destinations, only two places you can go. What are those two? Youngsters.
Jannah
and hell. Only two places. Okay. There's nothing in between, either here or here. And the what we decide, where we want to go and what we do is done here. Actions are here. Judgment is on the day of judgment. And the jaza, the reward or punishment is in the, after the day of judgment. So that's what it's all about. So this surah will talk about that there is a day of judgment which nobody is going to escape. That there are people who are going to go to Jahannam. There is a description of them. A brief description, but a scary description. So it is actually a quite stern, serious surah. Then just to ease it for the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a description of Jannah in between. That no, not everybody is going to end up like that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to reflect on some things we see around us in this dunya to know that power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are talking about, his creative abilities. And then he tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, warn them, tell them that this is what's coming. And then he says, in the end, some will listen, some will not, and the hisab, the accounting is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that introduction, we will start the surah, which is called Al-Ghashiyah. The word Ghashiyah means, it's translated as the overwhelming, or something that covers. If you remember, we covered a surah called Surah Al-Layl. Wal-layli idha yaghsha, on the night when it covers everything. Yaghsha is the same root as ghashiyah. Something that covers, that overwhelms everything. So what this means is that an event is going to come which no one can escape. No one can escape. Those who were living at that time, those who died in the beginning, who was the first human being that died?
Prophet Adam?
No. He was the first one who was created, but he is not the first one who died. Yes, there's sister.
Was it Prophet Adam's son?
Yes, one of his sons. And what happened to him? He was killed by his brother. And he didn't know what to do with the body because there was nobody had died before. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a crow that dug the ground and buried another crow in it. Then he learned that this is what we are supposed to do with the dead body. Okay. So from Habil, that's his name, till the last child, everyone will be covered with this event, will be present, because Allah will resurrect them all. Okay. Nobody can escape this. Okay. Nobody. Whether you believed, say, well, I'm not getting up today, I didn't believe in it. If you didn't believe, that's more reason to get that you will be raised today. Okay. So Al-Ghashiyah, something that overwhelms, covers everything. everyone will be involved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the second person. He says, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. It starts with a question. هَلْ means, has أَتَاكَ come to you, O Messenger of Allah? The narration, the story, the hadith of Al-Ghashiyah. So if you literally translate it, it says, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has there come to you the story of this event that will cover everything? Now, do you think this is really a question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did he not believe in the Day of Judgment? Did he not know that there was a Day of Judgment? So sometimes these questions are rhetorical to tell you that it's so obvious that everyone has heard about it. Okay. Don't you know it's night? I'm asking you a question. No, it's not. I said, don't you know it's night? Means it's so obvious you should know. So it's in that vein that this question is being asked. Hasn't that story, this narration, this hadith of the Ghashiyah come to you? Okay. In other words, the Prophet ﷺ is being used to tell the Meccans and everyone else that you have already heard about this. It's not something new, because previous surahs had been revealed that talked about it. Okay. Because this is one concept that people always struggle with. You know, human beings and all. What is the purpose that I'm created? What happens after death? Is this it? So those questions have always sort of bothered people. They wanted this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, there is life after death. There is a day of judgment. There is accountability for everything you do here. Okay. The world is not a place of justice. Day before yesterday, a drone attacked a car that had some explosives, and a family with 10 children got wiped out. Right? You all heard about it? Our drone bombed a car that some terrorists were taking, but who died from it? A whole family of 10 children. Now, where's the justice? The justice on the Day of Judgment. In the dunya, you will not always get justice. And we complain about it. So-and-so did such horrible things and had such a good life. Okay, where is the justice? And so-and-so was so good, but they suffered all their lives. Where is the justice? Because it's coming in the hereafter. Okay? Where it really counts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without even addressing others, he could have said, hal ataakum, has not to all of you come the message? He says, no, hal ataaka. In other words, they're not even worthy of being addressed. I'm only addressing one person, but everybody else is listening. Okay? That this event, Ghashiyah, has come to you, is going to come. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wujuhun yawma idhin khashiyah. Wujuh, the faces. When it's indefinite, it's not said al-wujuh, it says wujuhun, which is indefinite, means some faces on that day, yawma idhin, on that yawm, on that day, khashiyah. Khashiyah means humbled, means humiliated, means downcast, means disgraced. Now, khushu, the word khushu, you've heard of it, khushu in salah, and so on and so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about fi salatihim khashi'un in Surah Mu'minun, one of the qualities of khushu. It has a positive connotation and has a negative connotation. In the dunya, we are expected in salah to have khushu, means to be humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when you stand in khushu, you are in awe, you are in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't move around. You know, you're not playing with your thing, with your khimar and with your beard. You're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with khushur. Khushur is in the heart, but if it's in the heart, the body doesn't move. You know, you're not dancing around. You know, We don't have worship in which we are singing and dancing. We stand still. The Sahaba used to stand so still in Salah that we have many narrations. Sometimes birds would come and sit on top of them because they thought they were statues. Because why? I'm standing in front of Allah. So for us in this dunya, khushu' is good. It's a praiseworthy thing. Okay? The people who have khushu' of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that awe and fear and humility in front of Him, will have no fear on the day of judgment. Those who did not have khushu' here, no, I don't care. It's time for salah. I don't care. Believe in the day of judgment. I don't believe. On that day, they will be in khushu'. Wujuhun yawmaidhin khashiyah. Now they are scared because they have seen it. And they are humiliated. And you know, when a person is guilty of something, from the face you can tell, right? Sometimes somebody has done. You know. Even dogs, if you have dogs, if they've done something wrong, you call them, they'll be like this. Kids, we see that all the time. If they've done something, unless they become hardcore criminals, they feel, you know, I call Yusuf. You know, he's done something that he's been called with a strong voice, okay? So, on that day, from their faces, you'll know that these people are in trouble. وُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَ عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ Fatigued. They look tired. And from faces you can tell, you know. So, you didn't sleep well, you look so tired today. You worked very hard, you haven't, you know. From the face you can tell fatigue. So on that day, some faces will look very tired and haggard, and, you know, drained, exhausted. Now, why would they look so tired and drained and exhausted? So scholars have said different things. One is that they were exhausted because of all the things that they did in the dunya, which did not get them any benefit on this day of judgment. Okay. All of the effort was for the dunya and nothing for this day. They got tired doing things of the dunya, working like dogs, and got nothing in return. That's one. Some have said that this indicates, is an indication, ishara to the punishment of the grave, that these are the people of Jahannam. So they've already come through the punishment of the grave from the time they died till the day of judgment. So they come out fatigued from all that they had to bear. Some have even said that this may also represent fatigue on the day of judgment, because on the day of judgment, people are scared. What will they be doing? They'll be running from here to there. You know, as we've heard in before surahs before, that nobody will recognize anyone else. They'll be running, the father from the son and the son from the daughter, you know, from the mother and all of that. And running from one prophet to another messenger. Please say, please do, you know, sifarish for me, you know, put in a good word for me. Please save us, please save us. Running here and there, fatigued. And the sun is right on top, 1 mil above the head, and they are sweating away profusely. Exhaustion. And we have narration that finally they will say to the angels, you know, start the day of judgment, we are so tired. So this wujuhu in the faces here, when we talk about, will be so exhausted, can have multiple meanings of where this exhaustion is going to come from. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tasla naran hamiya, that they will be put, these faces, and faces means a person, because we identify ourselves by faces, right? Our most noble thing that we take pride in, we spend most time beautifying, is our face. This is how we recognize that some of these faces on that day, they will be tasla naran hamiya, that they will be roasting. Narun hamiya. Nar already is a fire. Hamiya means scorching, blazing. Now this is an extra adjective. Fire burns anyway. But narun hamiya, one that has reached a temperature that's beyond anything you can imagine in this dunya. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in some narrations has said that in the fire of the akhirah is 70 times hotter than the hottest fire of this dunya. Okay, so this is a different temperature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is what they will be subjected to for what they... Tusqa min aynin aniya. Now, when you are burning, what do you look for? When something catches fire, how do you get relief? Water, right? Generally water. Tusqa min aynin aniya. Tusqa means they'll be given to drink. Now you're so thirsty, you're burning, your faces are burning. This group of people, they're looking for relief. Yes, water will be brought. Like in what kind of water? Aynin aniya. Means one that has reached its ultimate boiling point. In other words, it just, every step increases the suffering. And we have ideas about this, because if you've gone to some of our national parks here, there are geysers jumping out of the water, of the ground, with steam and boiling water into hundreds of feet into the air. Even in this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us examples of this. From the earth, steam and boiling water is pouring out. He's telling us that's what's who you're going to be able to drink, the people who end up in the Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. Then he says, that's why I said this is a very serious and scary surah, because it's got some horrific scenes. You know, if you imagine, you know, we have to reflect, you know, when you finish the day, you lie down and you think of these scenes. It should scare you enough that I never do anything that's going to make me end up in a place like that. Because I won't, nobody is able to tolerate those things. Okay. Tusqa min aynin aniya. Laysa lahum tu'amun illa min dari'. Now, that was the drink. And there are other places in the Quran that talks about what are the drinks in Jahannam? This boiling water that has reached that, you know, if you ever have real hot tea, it burns your tongue for 5 or 6 days, you don't taste anything else. And if it's really hot, you know, your soft palate gets burned and there's, you know, stink hanging from the roof of the mouth. Now imagine this is hotter than that. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned other drinks. He's talking about something like molten lead. Imagine what temperature. He's talked about putrid pus, washings of wounds that smell and that are horrible. Okay, this is what you're going to get if you end up in Jahannam. Here he's talking about the food. Says, Laysa lahum. There isn't for them, for these people, not for others. Ta'amun. Ta'am is something you want to eat. Illa min dari. Nothing except something called dari'a. Dari'a in, for the Arabs, in the desert, they have a thorny cactus-type plant, which is called shibriq, which the camels actually can eat. Camels have special thing, and camels are going to come in the surah next. There are thorns in it, but it contains some nutrition. So when it's green, the camels can actually eat it. But when it dries up, it has no nutritional value except just thorns sticking out. If you've ever held a cactus with only thorns, you'll know what it feels like. Now imagine, that's the only food, and people are so hungry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will eat it, because there's nothing else. Illa min dari. And this also is a reference, because some of the kuffar made fun of it. They said, oh, dari, our animals eat it, we'll be able to eat it in Jahannam. In other words, they're trying to be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wait and see. Wait and see. that you will have nothing except this to eat. Now, there are a few other descriptions of food. There is a plant that grows from the pit of Jahannam, the lowest part, which is called the tree of Zaqqum. Have you heard of Zaqqum? That is one of the trees of Jahannam. And the fruit of Zaqqum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Asluha, its roots are in the lowest pit of Jahannam. And this tree grows, it's called Zaqqum. And he says, the fruit of it is like the heads of shayateen. They look ugly. And when they are eaten, they explode inside. It's like a hand grenade, if you will. Zaqqum, that's another thing on the menu. And there is a mention of ghislin, which is another plant of this type. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is what people will be so hungry, they will still eat something that's full of thorns. Now what will this do? Why do you eat? Because you have these hunger pains and you think it will satisfy, even if it's thorns, it will satisfy my hunger, the suffering of hunger. لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع. لا يسمن. They're not going to get, literally, they're not going to get fat over it, because it has zero nutritional value. ولا يغني من جوع. And it will not remove their hunger. So you keep eating thorns, tearing your inside, but the hunger is not relieved. Means you continue eating. You continue. This is, you know, this is a sort of horrendous state for somebody to be in. Okay. So just this description of few words in three or four ayahs should be enough deterrent for anybody never to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is, you know, it's nothing. We look at suffering in this dunya, you know, so much in pain, so and so, is then someone had a limb blown off, somebody fell and did this, broke every bone in the body. They burnt, 100% burn on the body, third degree burns. It's nothing compared to Jahannam. None of the suffering. So, after giving this horrible picture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it started with some faces that did. This is not for everybody, inshallah, for none of us, none of our families, none of the Muslims. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives a few verses of relief. Because, I mean, you could go into some sort of a fear complex and become paralyzed from doing anything. It's so scary, I can't do anything. You know, sometimes people, when you get really scared, you can't do anything, you can't even run. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us relief by giving the opposite picture, that yes, there is another picture. This is one picture, he says. Then he says, وُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَعِيمًا. Again, وُجُوه. Some faces on that day will be نَعِيمًا. نَعِيمًا means they look so happy, they look so pleased. And again, as we said, facial expression, you can tell, you know, somebody who's just got their results and they came at the top of the class, you don't have to look at their certificate. You just look at their face and you know, that, you know. Somebody gets the news that, you know, you've just had a child, you see, you can tell from the face. So same way, وُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَعِيمًا. Some faces on that day, the people of Jannah, will be glowing with pleasure. They'll be looking so happy. So it's in contrast to وُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعًا, humbled, downcast. This one is looking upbeat. You want to know what happened? You know what I got? You know what I achieved? You know where I'm going? You know, this person cannot contain their happiness. لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَةً. Contrasting with the other one, which was that they looked fatigued and tired. Here, لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَةً. They are so pleased with the effort that they made in the dunya. Okay. سَعْيِهَا. سَعْي is something that you struggle and do a lot of, you know, like in Hajj you have sa'i, running from Safa and Marwa. So the effort in this dunya that they made, now they see the results of it, and they are so happy. Another interpretation of this, that they are so pleased that Allah allowed them and gave them tawfiq to do all those good things, that effort that they made. Because that only comes from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to do and grants us. He gives tawfiq, He gives hidayah, He gives guidance, allows us to do those good things. But because of the consequences, now they see the results, they see the rewards, and they are so pleased. Fi jannatin aliyah, opposite of tasla naran hamia, scorched in the fire. Here, these people will be fi jannatin aliyah, in jannah, the gardens of paradise. Aliyah means elevated, high. Aliyah means literally high. It also means something that you get honored for, something that's honorable. Okay, just like, for example, you know, when you have a king, he sits on a throne high, everybody else sits below. You know, when we have our weddings, you know, you have a stage and the bride and groom sit high and everybody else, to show them that they are being honored. So on that day, people who will be honored. Even their jannat, their gardens of paradise will be high. The other thing about high is that it lets you have a good view of everything. You know? It's like you have, you know, so would you like to have your suite in the basement of the Burj Khalifa or in the penthouse? What would you choose? The penthouse, because you can see. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that there it will be elevated and honored, okay? في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية. And in this place, they will not hear any لغو, means any bad language, any useless language. لغو means anything that has no benefit. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about things here, certain types of music, certain, you know, backbiting and lies and gossip, all of this is لغو. Okay. Things that are no benefit to you, that over there you will not hear any of this. And this, the word tasma'u, Arabic grammar, also is used for second person. So it can also be mean that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being told that you will not hear any of that. Why? Because when this was revealed, what was he hearing? You are a liar. You are a shayar. You are crazy. All these bad things, this we don't believe in. So he was being made to hear all of this. He was subjected to all of this ridicule. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in Jannah, you will not hear any of this. It's just for here. Just bear with it a little bit. But for the rest of us, it's also meant that you will always hear. I mean, sometimes you go to school, maybe some of you in your schools hear, oh, what's your name? Muhammad. You must be a terrorist, right? Oh, Islam is this, and Islam is that. And Islam. So you hear all of those things. You know, raghead and this head and, you know, desert jockey and all kinds of, you know, brown so-and-so. They make fun of you. They say bad things to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will not hear any of this. One of the things in Jannah, you'll only hear beautiful speech. You'll only hear good things. Because that's what you wanted. Because one of the qualities of a believer in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, that from lagu mu'aridun, when they hear people talking, you know, bad things, they turn away from it. They didn't want to hear it in the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now your reward is you won't hear any of this in the akhirah. Okay. So one of the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us there is you'll only hear beautiful things. Because sometimes a news comes, somebody says something, it ruins your whole day. Somebody said something, somebody yelled at you, and you don't feel good the rest of the day. You know? So, لَا تَسْمَعُ فِيهَا لَاغِيَةً فِيهَا عَيْنٌ جَارِيَةً. Here again, عَيْنٌ جَارِيَةً means there is continuous flowing rivers and streams. We have rivers that are water that doesn't get stale and smelly. We have rivers in Jannah that are made of milk that doesn't curdle and become yogurt and things. We have special wines that taste beautiful, they're not bitter, and they don't intoxicate you. They don't make you lose your way. You have rivers of honey. All of these are mentioned in the Quran in different places. That there are rivers, rivers, rivers in Jannah. Jariya, continuously running. Waterfalls, I mean, we have beautiful, you know, water gives such a sense of peace to people when they go out, especially people of the desert, if they would imagine seeing, you know, water there, you know, an oasis called a mirage. But the most expensive properties in the world today are what? Waterfront property, because insan is from water and has a natural inclination. Being on the water, hearing the river run, hearing the stream bubble, hearing the waves come, gives you a special sense of enjoyment and joy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that these are your rewards of Jannah. So compare a stream which is pouring out steam and boiling water, and here is a stream for the people of Jannah. Fiha sururum marfu'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, now, what is your furniture in Jannah? Surur is like a elevated couch, if you will, or even like thrones. Common usage today, sarir means bed, but at that time, sarir was for couches, like you're sitting on couches. So comfortable couch, surur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, fiha sururun. Marfu'a, rafa. They are also, just like the Jannah is elevated, these are also elevated. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has arranged special furniture for them in Jannah. Fiha sur, again as a sign of honor. Fiha sururun marfu'a wa akwabun mawdu'a. Akwab from kub, which means special containers, goblets, if you will, special decorated type of cups, but without the handles, which are arranged for you to as drinks. Okay. In other words, you don't have to go and find a styrofoam cup and somewhere and pour it and throw it in the garbage. No. There will be special creatures to serve you, and these will be lined up for you. Drink whatever you want, because there are all kinds of drinks that Allah has mentioned for the people of Jannah. We mentioned the people of Jannah, their drinks. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned so many drinks. We've covered some of those before. That there are people who will serve, they will never ending, because they will keep pouring for you whatever you want. And there is also mentioned that Allah himself will serve some of his servants. Sharaban tahura. Allah himself will say, here, drink, my servant. Now imagine that. SubhanAllah. وَالنَّمَارِقُ مَصْفُوفَ. Namariq is translated as cushions that are arranged masfufa, like in saf, sufuf, in lines, in rows. You know, that implies that you're not going to be alone in Jannah. You're going to have company. First, with your family that made it to Jannah, inshallah all of our families make it there, and we will visit each other, because we also have the relationship of Islam. So inshallah, once we die, it's not like we will never see each other again. Inshallah, we will visit each other in Jannah if you all make it there with by Allah's mercy. Okay, so there will be all of these gatherings, like we are sitting here using these cushions. Allah has made cushions and couches for us, surur, and these cushions that will be arranged for you, special. The Prophet ﷺ says, Jannah has things that no eyes have ever seen. You can imagine the best of you can see here. It's nothing compared to what's in Jannah. No ears have heard. Whatever news you have, oh, it's like this, it's like this, it's so fancy. Doesn't matter. It's nothing like that. It's beyond that. And no minds can even imagine. And I said, okay, we'll give you open your minds and think whatever you want. Even that's not going to be good enough for what Jannah is. Okay. Wa akwabun mawdu'a wa namariqu masfufa wa zarabiyyu mabthutha. and there will be special carpets, zarabi, that are made of special fabric that you will walk on them, that are spread out to beautify where you are.
Okay.
So this is the relief Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us from that hellfire description to entice us. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to make the effort. I make a little effort here. This is what I'm going to get.
Okay.
Because sooner or later this life is going to be over, but I do want to make it, and I want this to be my destination, not the other place. So the event is going to happen, Ghashiyah. There is going to be two destinations. There is Day of Judgment, and you're going to end up in two places. Now, if anybody has any doubt that who's going to make this happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to ponder. In the next few ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some signs, as we said, that we have to reflect on the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Have they not looked at the ibil, which is the camel, how it was created? وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ رُفِعَتْ. And at the skies, how they have been elevated. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. And how the mountains have been firmly pegged into the earth. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. How the earth has been spread out so you can move around. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings our attention to four of His creations out of billions. Just to think. Now, just remember who the primary audience was when this was being revealed? The Arabs. What is their life? They would travel through earth that is spread out, which is the desert. What would they be traveling on more likely than anything? Camels. And what would they be seeing above them? Everywhere, the skies and landscape of mountains. So, four things that every Arab experienced every day of their life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at what you experience, and we can move this to what we experience today. Okay. We are not experiencing camels, we are not experiencing desert, but we do experience the skies, we experience the earth spread out where we move around, and means of transportation. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have they not reflected on these four creations? About the ibil, which is the camel, how it was created. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us homework, and this is the homework for young and old. He said, have you not reflected on how the camel was created? What do we know about the camel? What is the benefit we get from a camel? Or what is the benefit they got from a camel? As we know, there is another name for the camel. We call it the ship of the desert. So the camel was the best means of transport in the desert. It carried you. It carried all your luggage. It could go days and weeks without water, without eating. In the desert, there's no water, no problem. You just carry water for yourself. The camel doesn't need anything. Look what Allah has created. Look at the feet of the camel. If you try walking, and I tried climbing some dunes in Qatar, how difficult it is. Now, they have feet, how Allah has created them, and plod through the desert. They run through the desert without their feet sinking in. They were created to traverse for weeks. Do you know that a camel in the Sahara can go 6 months without drinking any water? 6 months in that heat. They may eat something that may have some nutritional value and thing. 6 months. But even without eating anything, 1 week, 2 weeks, no water. So where is this water being stored? No food. Even the dari, they don't eat. Where is this energy coming? You imagine walking for miles and miles every day through the hot desert. Allah has created. Do not you marvel at this? Well, guess what? Do you know where the water is stored? Now, this is homework. This is work you guys should do. Allah has asked you to reflect on how the camel was created. Do you know where the water is stored? Ask the doctors. It's not in the hump, I'll give you a hint. Somebody must say, camel's got a hump. It's not in the hump. It's in their red blood cells. They are made oval in such a way that a camel can drink 30 gallons at a time. He drinks the 30 gallon, it goes, it gets stored in these red cells. And as it needs, they come down. Special. Allah created special red cells to store water from this animal. Do you know where the food is stored? In the hump. Not as food. So you're not, if you cut it open, you're not going to see dari and cactus in there. You're going to see fat. It gets converted to fat. And that's what happens. So if a camel is going for weeks with no food, the hump starts to get less and less. Imagine. And as you know, how many humps do the camels have? The majority of them, what are called the camelus dromedaria, one hump. But there is camels that have two humps. And in January of 2019, they spotted a new species of camel on the border of Oman and Saudi Arabia with three humps. It was big news. Obviously, as you can see, I've done my homework on the camel. Three humps. Now they're saying this had never been seen before. So they came up with either a genetic mutation took place or the global warming has made them have special change that this has happened. Okay, in the Arab world, this was big news that a new species of camel has suddenly shown up with three humps. That's where the fat is stored. Okay. Now, these camels travel through desert, and guess what happens in the desert? Extreme heat in the day and extreme cold in the night. So the way they are made, Allah didn't put all the fat around them as the insulation. It's in the hump. So their body temperatures go up in the daytime. And in the night, that heat dissipates, so it keeps them warm. Now, there's another problem in the desert. You have what are called sandstorms. If you've ever been in a sandstorm, it is horrific. You can't see anything. You can't open your eyes because it's all full of sand. So what do? We put, glasses or, like those swimming things. And then only completely covered with sand. You can't see. If it gets in your eyes, you can't see. So you can cover your eyes. What does the camel do? Can't cover its eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, has given the camels very long eyelashes, like some of our sisters use those these days, camel eyelashes. They keep the sand away. But guess what? Allah has given them a third thing over the eye, a clear coating, like the cornea, that keeps the sand from hitting. So it gathers there, and then they open it, and their eyes. So there is like if you goggle, special goggles that come and they go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, just look at the camel, how it was created, and you will know that the one who created this has the power to do anything. This is just, I'm giving you a few highlights about the camel. If you're interested, Allah asked us to reflect on it. Please read up, adults also, read about the camel. And if you want, you can read about horses. You can read about anything under creation. Read about bumblebees. And in every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will see his ayat, his signs. How specialized everything is. I mean, we are so involved with ourselves, man is this. We can't protect ourselves from the bumblebee or a wasp. And what does the wasp do, right? And they know. Sometimes they're better than us because they know their Rabb and we don't know our Rabb. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the heavens, how they are elevated. Elsewhere in Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, see if you can find any defects in the skies. You know, if we look at the ceiling, I see one stain there already. Okay. No matter where you go, you will find something that man has made. There will be, no matter where you go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at my creation that's been here. Keep looking, your eyes will come back fatigued and you will never find anything wrong with it. Who made it? وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ And the mountains that he has made into the ground like pegs, as he tells us, so that when the earth is spinning, they're counterweight so it doesn't shake and vibrate. And you should understand that because now we have cars. When you put new tires on your cars, you know what do they do? It's a procedure called wheel balancing. What do? You know how they balance? They take little lead weights and they stick it on there so that it doesn't vibrate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's lead weights are these mountains that are put different places on this earth. So it's spinning at this tremendous rate, going around its own axis. It doesn't go into a vibration, so you can be peaceful. And how are the mountains formed? You guys know? This is another thing you have to reflect. What's happening? You take a piece of fabric, you push it together, it goes up. Plates are moving, it pushes the mountains up. They're growing. Okay. Look at all of this. So open up Google. Now you have Google. You don't have to go into Encyclopedia Britannica. We used to have 30 volume, each one this heavy. This, you know, it used to be a drag. Now we just Google it and you can see. And they say, wow. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ Imagine if everything was just cliffs and rocks and things, how difficult it would be to get around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have spread out this earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us four things that we are all familiar with to reflect on the power of Allah, his creative power, and how he made things easy for us.